when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. And Father, thank you so very, very much for every opportunity, every time we have a chance to gather like this. There are some countries in the world where they can't gather like this. There are places where people have no church they can go to. And we are blessed, we are privileged that by the mercies and grace of God, we have a beautiful home, spiritual home. Father, thank you that we may never despise it, but always appreciate what it is that we have, and bless us to do well in our lives as we serve you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, amen. Tonight I want us to recap something which our prophet spoke to us about while we were at the Give Thyself Holy conference. One of the great lessons that we have to learn is that the books of our prophets, they are sealed, and you need to break open the seal. But once it's open, it's a mine, it's a gold mine. This Galamsey pit that Reverend Charles is talking about, this is one of the Galamsey pits, and it is gold in handfuls at the bottom, but you have to break open the seals. And I was so amazed at the conference we just had, because that book is a book I've read before, but now I have a greater and deeper understanding, and that is the blessing that follows listening to. Ask anybody, do you do podcasts, by the way? Ask anybody, do you do podcasts? I'm sure the answer is sometimes, which means no. Normally, no. But podcast is one of the keys to open the books, because in podcasts, it's his books, he often, one chapter or one small part of the book that he opens up for all of us. And tonight, I want us to look at the book Enlargement Secrets, the book that we preached from. And one of the chapters that I want us to look at this evening is Enlargement by Wiping Out Giants. Wiping Out Giants. And I like this chapter very, very much, because giants are the problems you can't solve. I mean, many people owe money. I mean, somebody owes somebody 10 CDs. Somebody owes somebody 50 CDs. Somebody said, buy me a watch, I'll pay you tomorrow. You are in debt. Though it's 10 CDs or 20 CDs, you are still in debt. When you tell somebody, Charlie, they are doing Ben MP Sunday, 20 cities. Oh, I don't have money. Pay for me. I'll give it to you. You are in debt. Or it's not true. Yeah, you are in debt. though it is a debt you can pay, you are in debt. But there are others. I met somebody today who was in debt 6,000 cedis, and he was burdened. And there are others who are in debt 60,000 cedis. This one's a different level. But Reverend Charles just mentioned another debt of 600,000 cedis. So tonight, all debt be debt. Oh, it's not the case. I didn't say die, I said debt. All debt be debt. But some debts are gargantuan. They are very big. Whereas others are children that if you borrow, you can pay just now and just walk away. If you are talking giddy too much, hey, what? I owe you 2,000 cedis. Collect. Get your 2,000, get your money and leave me alone and go. So they can just pay it and walk away. You know, so they are a giant. Is not a strange creature. It's a man like us, two legs, two hands, and all the features of men, but is bigger than normal. A giant is unusually large or powerful. A giant, unusually large or powerful. But the same dynamic, the same form as a normal man. So I want us to consider tonight that we are going to face giants. But the giants that we are going to face, they are not some super, they are the same things others are facing. They are not some unique, only unique to you. It is quite a common thing, but it is just a very big version of what it is that others are facing. Are you with me? Yeah, so if it is sickness, you can have a giant sickness, because malaria is sickness, but so is cancer. You can have accidents. Somebody can go and hit your car from behind and then just scratch your bumper. It's an accident. It's an accident. You can also have an accident where the car will overturn into the bush down the valley and start burning. The car is gone. It's an accident. So they are the same word. Are you listening? The same word that is applicable across the board. Some are extra big and extra powerful and very intimidating. And they form a greater barrier to your progress. Because if a little boy is in front of you, you will not mind him. But if a macho man is in front of you, say, excuse me, please, I'm wrong direction. I'm going back. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27. This is when Joshua sent out the 12 spies to go into the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou settest us, and behold, it floweth with milk and honey. Wow. Milk and honey is different from bread and water. Our Bible says, I'll bless your bread. Bread and water there is there. It will be blessed. But milk and honey, it is a level of, it's like a Range Rover type of life. How you bought Range Rover is, yeah. It's a comfort and enjoyment. It is a nicer position to be. And they said, the land where we have gone to spy out. I mean, it is wow. It is fantastic. It's a beautiful. Look, the goals ahead of you, your life will be very sweet. Yes. Yes. Beautiful life. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful life. That's our portion. And they said, yes, that is our destiny, a land of milk and honey. Verse 28, but I've shifted to the New Living Translation. But you can read the King James, it doesn't matter. But the people living there, the land is milk and honey. We agree. Yeah, we agree. But the people living there are powerful. And their towns are large and fortified. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. They said, look, what you are saying is true. That is the goal. But the obstacle to that goal is this. There's a giant problem in the way. Are you listening to me? I've almost finished. Verse 31. Because of this, but the men went up with him and said, we be not able, verse 31, to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So tonight, I want us to understand something. There is milk and honey. I think you have to drink some at home to understand what is milk and honey. When we were young, we used to do a condensed milk toffee. I think some don't know what it is. Some are very young. Some are very young. Yes. I mean, and it is, that is milk and honey. Yeah. I mean, it's more than ice cream. It is nicer. That your life, you see, when God has finished with you, your life will be so nice. I mean, when you have fulfilled God's calling, God's purpose, you have run the race. What did Paul say? Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Jesus, for the joy set before him. I mean, tell somebody, my enjoyment is ahead of me. My enjoyment. Hey, look, you tell somebody, look, you have been broken, that you are becoming used to brokenness. You are used to it. Ah, that when you open milk, only one hole. But a time is coming when you pour the milk. Yes, you are talking. You are talking. Secondary school used to drink milk one tin at a time. Oh yeah. You are getting there. I was telling somebody that one day, tap your neighbor, tell him one day, you must stop walking. Yeah. Only those who said yes will stop walking fast. You must stop walking. You must tell them, this is your right leg. Why can't it press accelerator? I mean practice. Press accelerator. This is your right leg. Is there something wrong with your right leg? Even when I was in school, a certain man who didn't have legs had a car. They had changed their car to boot hand pedals to do everything with their hand. And you have two working legs. Why can't this leg press accelerator and do vroom, vroom? It's a milk and honey destiny you are heading to. Yeah. It's a milk and honey destiny. You are here, you don't fly aeroplane. Oh. Tell somebody, Accra Kumasi is basics. It's starter pack. Because you must fly Accra, London, Accra, New York, Accra, Singapore. You must. Only those saying amen will receive it. You must fly it. And not only for conference. for any other reason. You must fly for weddings and other occasions. Yes. Amen. You'll be amazed at how one day a certain somebody who had never flown before, which I said never sat an airplane before, then a door opened to sit in aeroplane one. Hey. Then I said, take it. Take it. Open door, aeroplane one. Take it. Then she sat in it. Hey. Now she's a frequent flyer. Frequent flyer. Up. Oh, you shall have it. Until when you see that ticket, you say, oh no. Yeah. That is the milk and honey. Milk and honey. That is, you see, that is God's destiny. Even me, normal human being that I have, with the money I have, Ghana cedis, not US dollars, I have nice plans for my children. They are men now. For my children. Trying to get them to enjoy life. How much more God, who has unlimited resources? I mean, God has, what does Haggai say? The silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the gold is plenty. Hey, the gold is plenty. And God says all is his. So God is not limited at all. And this is the man who is for you. Oh, your life will be good. I said your life will be good. I don't know who your father is, but you drive a car. Yeah. I don't know what village you come from, but you drive a nice car. Yeah. I don't know where your father's history is, whether they are mud house or clay house or Atakwami house, but you build a house. Yeah. You will build a house. Yeah. And the house you are building, you will finish it in your lifetime. Yeah. I didn't hear a loud amen. I was driving one day, then I saw something, too many uncompleted buildings. Then I said, no, it's wrong. When we start, we must finish. And we will finish in our lifetime. And let me tell you something. Not all will receive it, some will receive it. Don't build one house. That's all. I finished. Don't build one house. It is wrong to build one house. And you have two children. What are you saying? No, I mean, what have you done? You have two children in one house. What have you done? You have caused a confusion. You have caused an animosity or tension or something between your own children. Unintentionally. But that is what you have done. May you never cause this trouble in your house. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes. It's a land of milk and honey. But they said, this land that is so nice, they said there's a giant between us and the land. And we cannot get there. So, Charlie, make we day where we are. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a giant there. I mean, I don't know who I can call to demonstrate that there's a giant here and you are here. And you want to, you can't, Charlie, make you relax and be satisfied where you are. Because they are stronger than us. They are stronger than us. That is what they said. But tonight, the message is, if you are to enlarge, you must wipe out that giant. If, because this giant, just go walk out and look around, you will see that there are many people who could not cross this giant. Just go out here and turn left and walk around, you'll see. Even look at your schoolmates and your family mates. I don't know whether it's a word or not. You will find that there are many who had nice plants when they were in their early years. Nice, juicy, sensible plants. But along the way, they never progressed beyond a certain level because a giant was standing in front of them. And so either they couldn't pay school fees, they couldn't go to university, they couldn't go get a visa, they couldn't travel, and they ended up behind the border of milk and honey. They ended up behind. No. Many don't cross the line. This world, whenever, look, don't bring politics here. But if ever somebody tells you, you are an average Ghanaian, say Tofia Kwa. The average Ghanaian, 30, we are 30 million. The average is the 15 million plus people, they are poor. They are very poor. The 15 million average, they are very poor. And those who are wealthy or comfortable, they are about 10% or something. Is that about correct? About 10% or something. So the 50% middle line, if they say you are there, say Tofia Kwa. Because it's not a good place to be. Yeah. And many have gone to school, university, graduates are among them. Yeah. They had all the opportunity, but a giant stood in front of them and they couldn't go further. And so they just ended up where they were. And the milk and honey, they never got it. But Joshua, this is Joshua who received this report. We can't go because they are stronger than us. He said, really? Joshua 11, the same Joshua who was told this message. Really? Joshua 11, verse 21. During this period, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It works nicer sometimes. During this period, Joshua destroyed all the descendants of Anak. That's the giants. He destroyed them all. Who lived in the hill country of Hebron, Debir, Anab, and the entire hill country of Judah and Israel. He did what? Killed them all. And completely destroyed their towns. Amen. Verse 23. So Joshua took control of the entire land. Just mark that thing. Oh, just as the Lord had instructed Moses, as God had said, Joshua took the land. And then what? He gave it to the people of Israel as their special possession. So that finally the land had rest. One day you have rest. When the giants are conquered, you will have rest. One day you sit down with your children and your grandchildren. One day you'll be eating ice cream. You'll be sending, buying milk. You will not count milk. Buy two, buy three, buy one, two sardines. No. One day you'll be just buying one carton. Remember the first day you buy one carton for yourself. Remember that day you are broken through. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You are broken through. Amen. Are you listening to me? I feel you are not believing me that giants are in front of us, but we can overcome them. I don't feel that somebody says, yes, we can. Yes, we can. They say you are a black one. You can be American president. Who told you? Yes, we can. And he became. and he became. Nobody has done what you are trying to do. Black man with a name from somewhere. Not Smith or other nice name, but a very heavy African name. You want to be America president with an African name for the way? You cannot do it. What the man says, yes, we can. This giant, we can overcome it. And he did. And today, he's Mr. President.
Wow.
Yes, we can. We can do it. I said we can do it. I want you to believe I will build a house. You see, your yes is not. It's not. You are. Those who are building are saying, is it, I don't need you, Henry, to stand. You're already building a house. No. It's somebody else I am looking for who has no money today as you are sitting here. Even Dinakra is suspect. And I want that person to say, you know, there's a giant in front of me, but I'll build a house. I will build a house. You build a house. I will build a house. I don't have anything. I don't have it. Sometimes we look at people and say, you, by your father's name, you buy a car. You, by your family origin, you go to university. Because your brothers are at universities. And you, from the way I'm hearing, your uncle to America, your uncle is in Germany. So you likely, some connection can land and you go. You know it. We are here. Nobody has gone anywhere. One day I met somebody. She told me, I'm the first to go to SHS1. I'm the first in my family to go to SHS. That's secondary school. Yeah, I'm the first. And then she came back and said, I'm the first to finish and have WASI certificate. I'm the first. I'm the champion of the house. Look, I don't know where you come from, but I see milk and honey. Milk and honey. As you are sitting here, you say, oh, we don't have money. No, sit down. It's a service. It's not a convention. No. I want you to understand that God has prepared a land for us. Oh, yeah. He has prepared a land. We are the ones who are not going. And the reason why we have not gone is that the way is there, but there's a giant. Yeah. And that is why it is so important to wipe out. Joshua killed them all. Killed. You know, in the Bible, several times, God will tell them to, this particular town, wipe out everybody, even the babies. Kill them all. Because some towns, the blood was giant blood. If they're allowed to grow, they become giants. Yes. And they are the enemies of mankind. So in some towns, he will say, even their babies, wipe out the whole place and they'll not leave anybody, because when they grow, there'll be a problem. I want us to understand that it is possible. Hallelujah. It is possible to wipe out these giants. And until they are eliminated from your path, you are doomed to be where you are. You are doomed. Doomed is not a good word. It's a bad word. I don't know how the doomed in tree. Or the doomed in tree. I don't know what they are saying. But there is woe. It's not doomed. Doomed is you are condemned. You are judged and sentenced to never go. Tell somebody, how is it possible that you will never advance financially from where you are today? How? What kind of life are you enjoying today that this is your end at this age? How? You have to pass the giants. Amen. So a giant, I'll give you a few points. A giant is a big problem standing between you. A giant is a big problem standing between you and milk and honey. Milk and honey can mean anything you want. It can mean education, wife, visa, ticket to America. It can be anything. Milk and honey. It can be anything that you desire. Because I don't like honey. So for me, honey is not honey. But somebody else likes honey. So milk and honey stands for whatever it is that you desire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear that? It is a giant standing between you and milk and honey. Listen to this one. We don't fight giants with giant weapons. No. We don't fight giants with giant weapons. We don't. Because that is their home ground. That is their territory. When you begin to bring giant weapons, you have come to my home ground. I become stronger. No. You fight giants. You want to beat Real Madrid. You don't go to their hometown to say that I challenge you there. Bring them to Caledon Park. They can't play. I remember many years ago, Hearts were playing against Egypt in Accra. We were playing against them. It was African Cup semi-final or something. For the first time, they played their match 12 noon. They were bleeding from their nose. I remember they were bleeding. They couldn't stand it. I mean, the players were coming to a touchdown. Blood was coming from their nose. They're bleeding. Yeah. How can you win a match? It's okay. It's my home ground. Yeah. It's my home ground. And I remember another match too. Bolivia against somebody. And they played it at La Paz. La Paz is 5,000 meters high. Up there, there's no air. There's no air. So you from the ground there, you can't breathe. And those who are there, they are moving normal. Yeah. Who won? Home advantage. They won. You complain, but Charlie, it's my home ground. So when you pull out giant weapons, you have moved the battle to the giant's home ground. You're about to lose. So the giants, are you listening? I'm closing very soon. The giants we are facing, you don't fight them with giant weapons. Number one, we fight them with wisdom. With wisdom. For example, building a house is a giant project for many. But Proverbs 24:3 says, by wisdom, a house is builded. And so, whenever you have a giant project, you have a giant situation in front of you, don't think of strength. Begin to pray and begin to look for wisdom, a direction, an instruction from God that this is the way to go. Hallelujah. If you try to use wisdom, you will fail in this regard. So fighting the giants, number one, is wisdom. Hallelujah. And number two, fighting the giants, you use what it is that you have in your hand. Whatever it is that you have in your hand, that is your tool against your peculiar, particular giants. When Moses came up in the wilderness, God asked him, what do you have in your hand? I have a rod. That's it. That's it. That rod, hey, it opened the Red Sea, turned the water into blood. It brought flies, lice. Hey, what do you have in your hand? I have a rod. It's enough. When David came up to Goliath, they said, David, you're going to fight Goliath? Man, you need a sword and a spear and a shield and a helmet. Listen, man, you got to have some boots on your feet to fight Goliath. You need to have all those things. And I got them custom made for you. Best of custom made sword. Hey. David said, no, thank you. What I have is a stone. What I have is a stone. They said, David. Thank you. I think you were there. You were standing by where they're talking. Are you the big brother? You were there. Get serious. Stop joking. Gotta be joking. I mean, you're going to fight. Look, take a sword, something sharp. Or something speary. Or something, not a stone. But he said, what is it that you have in your hand? That is all you need to bring down every giant. And you see, my giant, your giant, it's not the same. It's not the same. I mean, my house is severe. Your house is that area there. Yeah, this way. Okay, so it's where I like. Point where you like. We don't go the same way at night. How? If you follow me, you'll be very sad. No, you'll be very sad and disappointed if you follow me. We are all going home. We have closed 11:30. We are telling, let's go. I'm following you. No, no, where I'm going and where you are going, my giant and your giant, they are not the same. And so we will have different roots. So you will have a different instrument to fight the giant that is between you and your milk and honey. It's not the same. When you see me holding catapult, don't hold catapult too. Don't look for catapult too. When you see me taking cutlass, don't take cutlass. Say, hey, what is my particular issue that I need? No. Don't follow me at all. I don't know where I'm going. Are you listening? Yes. So, they're giants. But they are killable. Oh, yes. I mean, Joshua wiped them out. He left small. That's why we are still facing them today. He left them in Gath and other places. We are still, but he wiped out the giants. And so tonight, there are giants in front of us. Everybody's, unless you are very some way, everybody has some kind of plan, some kind of vision, some kind of direction where he wants to go. Everybody. And so there are many giants that are standing between us and our destination. Tonight, just for a short time, I want to just take us through a few of the giants. Amen? That are standing in the way. And how to overcome that giant. Is it a good idea? The giants that are standing in our way. The first giant, and maybe the most prominent giant, is the giant of poverty. The giant of poverty. It is this giant that makes you not go to a good school and not get good grades. No, don't be deceived though. Poverty can give you bad grades. Hey, when we are learning, you are looking for food. One day I was thinking when my son was going to write exams. They were doing in one of their courses. I required a laptop. And I said that here he is with a laptop in his bedroom. And there are some too who haven't seen some before. Writing the same exam. How can you pass? How can you pass? When my son was in medical school, he told me he wanted stethoscope. At that time I was traveling. So when I got there, I went to a place. Then I asked them, stethoscope, I want one. So there are different types. I said, give me one. And they gave me one. Check their price. They called their price and I took it. When I brought it, do you know, I never knew there were types. I didn't know. When I gave it to him, he said, hey, I can hear everything. Because some, you have to listen. I don't know whether I'm saying the thing well. Am I saying it well? Mina, is it true? Some, you have to listen. You have to listen for the sound. He said, this one, so I asked him, what's the difference? He said, the quality and the price. But the quality is a certain superior quality. So everything is clear. Are you here? Somebody may fail an exam, not because he doesn't know, but he couldn't hear. Not because he doesn't know. He knows, but as he listened, he didn't hear. I don't know why. Poverty. Look, a lot of people have very good ideas. One day, a friend of my brother, he had a driver. And his driver said, Master, I beg you, give my son a job at your company at the secretary or something. A job anywhere. He's done WASI and he didn't get anywhere. So just a job anywhere. So the man said, you're a faithful driver, so bring your son. So they brought their son. He came from some school up in there. Not Apabami, but further north, somewhere far north. So the guy came and said, oh, let's get him a job, office boy or something. So when the guy asked him, go and bring your results, let's see. But the results, A, or 111, I don't know what it is, A. He said, hey, what is this? He said, this is my result. But why is it in here? Would you go to school? He says, for the how? I can't go to school. I can't go anywhere. He said, this one. No. Have you filled forms? Fill forms? I can't buy the form. I can't buy. So I think luckily it was not time over or something over or the next year. I forgot it, but it was the next year. So the boss himself filled the forms, medical school, Legon. Oh, he went to medical school. He finished. Clock. He passed through. When he finished, then he said, Charlie, you have passed well. Then he said, look, I think you go to America. So the same guy from the office boy, today, he's a neurosurgeon. Yeah, he's a neurosurgeon in America somewhere. Poverty. poverty was going to spoil a neurosurgeon to a houseboy. No. Poverty. Poverty. Fear poverty, oh. Those of us who are poor. You know, you see, when you are poor, don't say, I am poor. Say, poverty is standing in front of me. It's a giant stopping me from going. Because if you had money, you would have done different things. True or not true? Yes, but you haven't done it because you don't have the money. So don't say, I am poor. We have always said, I am poor. No, tonight I'm explaining that the reason why you have not gone ahead is that something is standing in front of you as a barrier. And the barrier to going to tech is, I don't have money. That's the barrier. I don't have money. Don't say I'm poor. I'll be getting the difference. I'm not poor. But to buy the tech, to go and pay registration, I don't have the money. That is the reason why I have not gone. That is the reason why I have not gone. You don't have money. You're not poor. Poverty. Listen to this. Poverty. It will silence you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. Wisdom is better. Let's begin by wisdom. It's a very good thing. But the poor man who has the wisdom is despised. So now the wisdom is being cancelled. Are you listening? Don't mind the children. They are here by my permission. The wisdom is being cancelled by poverty. And then what? And his words are not heard. There are some of us who are here, you are very wise, but you are poor. That's all. So when you begin to talk, we look at your dressing. Prophet explained it. He said, few Westerners buy African books. I mean, Prophet is in a different class. Don't compare him. But few Westerners buy African books. Because in their mind, if you had wisdom, why are you so poor? If you had anything to say, why are you working in Bola and other things, surroundings? No. A poor man's wisdom is despised, and his voice is not heard. So you may be here. You may be a very good preacher, a very good shepherd. You may be a very good gatherer, but you don't have the money to bus. Then when you finish gathering, they scatter again. A poor man's effort is not seen. You are made, you look like you have done nothing. And then a poor man doesn't build. Building. No. A poor man is poverty. Many people are forced to take decisions they would never have taken if they had money. I mean, when people tell me about girls sleeping with men for money and those things, don't do some, but I never condemn the girls. Very often, you don't know their circumstances. You don't know. Look, a poor boy and a poor girl is very different. It's very different. A poor boy can just manage and just go and use Takashi and eat somewhere. A poor girl cannot. She cannot. A poor boy can go and find other poor boys and come together and go and force and get something. Poor girls, I work alone. I don't know whether I'm preaching something tonight, but yeah, they work alone. They cannot find food together. Poor boys, they can force. Poor girls, they are not. They can't even come together. We are all equally poor, but they are all looking at each other in a funny kind of way. So, this giant of poverty is a huge giant. It will stop many of us from moving forward in this life. You shouldn't be where you are, but you are. Because of this poverty. You should have gone to university. You should have been a doctor, a lawyer by now. You should have had a car by now. You should have, your kids should be doing better by now. You shouldn't be in this situation at all. I mean, as you are going home, you don't know what you are going to eat. And you have children who are hungry. No. It shouldn't be the case that you have to go and borrow for the children's breakfast or children's dinner. But a certain giant of poverty is standing in front of you. Hallelujah. How to bring it down? How to bring it down? You see, many of us, we are looking for giant weapons to bring this giant down. Because he's so big and so strong that I need a big and strong weapon to overcome this poverty giant standing in front of me. But like I said, what you need is just two things: wisdom and whatever it is you have in your hand. One of the greatest weapons that is guaranteed to floor a poverty giant, are you listening? Is your power to sow seeds. Is your power to sow seeds. Is your power to give. That is a super nuclear bomb to kill giants of poverty. Is the power to give. But many times, because of that same poverty, you don't give. And the giant is entrenched. I mean, he's taking roots in front of you. He's not moving at all. Because what it takes to move him, you don't have it. But you have it. But you're looking for something else. I'm looking for a longer spear. I'm looking for, you know, one day I watched some very interesting clip. And so, if they were to ask us to go and fight lions, I'm sure we'll take machine guns or, to be safe, machine guns or something like that. I watched a short clip. Three men or four men, they were in the bush. Then they saw a lion. Do you know a lion? And so a lion had killed a deer and was eating the deer. These four men, they took sticks. They took sticks from the ground and they charged the lion. And then the lion went back. Then it came and just charged them too. Then they were waving their sticks. Then they jabbed the lion. The lion went back. Then they came for it. Then they took the deer, the remains, and ran away with it. I said, a man has fought a lion with sticks. Because that's what they had in their hands. And the lion was the giant between them and food. And I saw that, no, it's not the machine gun you need to kill a lion. It's not a stick, but it's not the machine gun. It is what you have in your hand. Amen. Anybody who is poor, no, not poor. Anybody facing this giant of poverty, determine, I will be a giver. Of how much? You give your 5 cedis, 10 cedis, and your 20 cedi tithe, whatever it is. You give your faithful little giving regularly. Give your some tithe is 100 cedis. That one cry is big. Some tithe is 50 cedis. Some tithe is 20 cedis. Don't make the 20 cedi tithe 10 cedis. Don't make the 50 cedi tithe 30 cedis because it's about the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. I want you, are you listening to me? If you are facing this giant of poverty, the weapon you have to fight it is planting, sowing seeds. That's the wisdom and the little seed you have in your hand. Be a faithful giver. No man, look, just you will see, it will grow. That giant will fall. That giant will fall right before your eyes. As David stood there and brought down Goliath. Now, he was a shepherd until Goliath came down. Then he became a prince. Then he became a king. Shepherd, promotion. I mean, I'd want to ask, who is that boy? Hey, but he had come to see the king earlier with cheese for his brothers. And when he killed Goliath, then the king was asking, Charlie, who is that guy there? He's great. I like him. Before he killed the Goliath, nobody liked him. Yeah. This giant will come down.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Second giant, the giant of Pornia. Pornia. Pornia is a Greek word. And from this word, we get all the other words, fornication, adultery, incest, lust. All those other words come from this one word, pornia. It is sexual immorality. Yeah. It is sexual immorality. Yeah. And this giant is a killer. Is a killer. It's not that like other giants, they just stop you and don't let you pass. This one. Galatians 5. It's not standing. Verse 16. Then I say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's not standing there. It's fighting against you. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Hey! This giant of sexual immorality, pornography, all those things, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all those things are in this immorality time. It's a giant. And he doesn't stand, he fights us. Other giants are just okay, they just stand there. You can't pass. Not this one. He's fighting you. Amen. And what makes this giant maybe the most powerful of all the giants? Should I tell you? Should I tell you why this one is the most powerful of all the giants? I'll tell you. Because this one, you like it. You like it. Oh, yes. This giant is the giant that's, stop it, I like it. That's this giant. It's the giant that when he comes, he will touch your chin. Kuchi, 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 kuchi. Then you are smiling and you know it's wrong. But you like it. That's why this giant is such a killer. Because your flesh, you know is wrong, but you like it. And this giant, not only is he standing in front of you, but it is, some of it is inside you. I don't think I understand what I'm saying. It's inside you. So you are fighting a giant outside and inside. It's a double war. Yeah. This giant, no, is unlike all the other giants. I mean, how many boys have to sit by a girl? Your hands are okay down until by mistake you touch her breast. Then you can't stop again. They don't know. They all here, they all know my name. You like it. Then you say, hand, go down. No, I won't go down. And this giant, it is the flesh fighting. Other giants obstruct. This one fights you. Fights you. Fights back. And when he gets you a hold on you, hey, anaconda. When he holds you, I mean, when a giant holds you, he never let you go again. That is why those who have addictions, no, a woman who said she had sex 30 times a day. I don't know the interval. Yes, 30. No. She said that she stopped work. Do you understand? She stopped working. It was driving her. And some of the men, she didn't know them. I mean, she has gone to, even her hairdresser, she was cutting her hair. Then they stopped there in the cutting of the hair and had sex, then they continued. Because when the giant holds you, it's got you. No. This giant. That is why there's a saying, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. This is the only giant where they say you fight small, then you run small. Fight small, then you run. That's why Timothy says, flee youthful lust. You run. You run. But some you fight. You fight your body. You fight yourself. But when you see that it's not working, then you run. No. You cannot fight all and you cannot run all. This particular giant of flesh, you can't run all. Run away. Girls are half the world. Where are you running away to? And maybe here there are decent girls. Just cross the street. It's a different story. No. You can't say I'm running away. This one day I'm running. No, you can't run away. And I'm going to fight. No. You can't fight. There are some of them, they are champion. You can't fight them. This particular... No, I'm very serious. This particular giant, you must fight small and run small. Know when to fight and know when to run. Because if you fight at the wrong time, you lose. If you run at the wrong time, you fall into a bigger trouble. Amen. The fight is in two places. One is in your mind. Is in your mind. Too many people allow their minds to wander. Especially boys. Especially the men or the boys. I don't know which is more correct. Too many people allow their mind to roam free. So when you are there and you see something, you allow your mind to undress a girl in front of you. You allow your mind to imagine what it's like sleeping with this girl. You allow your mind to look and say, this girl, is it flat? Is it round? Is it? Yeah, you allow your mind to go. You must stop your mind. Don't say, my mind, look, your mind's under your control. That's why Philippians 4 says, whatsoever things are what? Hey, let me look at the New Living Translation. I like that one. And now, dear brothers, 4:8, one final thing. Fix your thoughts, 4:8, on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think of things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix your mind. I mean, when you see a girl, don't imagine sexual things. Rather, imagine honorable things. Yeah, think about honorable things. Think that should be a very good a preacher or a very good prayer warrior. Don't imagine, don't look down. Look, I mean, when you see a person, look at the face and look at the, and let your mind be on the face and the smile. Yes, fix your mind. Look, pornography, it is first of all in the mind. It is an addiction of the mind. Somebody told me that he was addicted to pornography. And then he said, we spoke. I said, no, you can't. You have to stop this thing. You have to stop this thing. You have to stop this thing. You can't allow it to control you. So we spoke a lot. He said, okay, I'll stop. Then we said that no more watching because it was on his laptop. No more watching. Then we agreed. Then he went home. Then I asked him later on, what happened? He said, I lay down awake. 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. I was awake. Then I got up to watch some more. Then I could sleep. Then I could sleep. I said, no, we have to try again. But it's in their mind. Because you are in bed, what's your body doing? Nothing. It's your mind thinking and thinking of, and I see all pornography is acting. Oh, it's all, the whole thing is a scam. It's a scam. That's all. It's a wild scam. Control your mind. That's why you can sit in church and you're not paying attention to your preaching. They're preaching. I look at the mega church. One man like this. And you're watching, you are in a service where they are preaching and your mind is on the banner. How? Who is that man? What has he heard? One like this. Your mind has gone to town. Fix your mind on. You see, that is why I will tell you, those who come and sit here and don't write notes, your mind will wander at a point during the service. As you are writing, you can't, it won't go. It's always trying to write things. Fix, number one, to fight this pornography, this immorality, demon, devil, giant, fix your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Colossians 3. Set your affections. Fix your heart. Number two, fight your body. Fight your body. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, and I keep my body and bring it into subjection. One day, one of my friends, his wife had an operation and so couldn't have sex. Then this guy said one day, he woke up, he said, I need it. He said, I need it. It is bubbling in me. His wife told him, go and bath. take a shower. It will go away. Go ahead, take a shower. It will go away. You cannot tell me I can't control it. No. You can't tell me I can't control it. You must decide. I mean, if you were to allow your body, it will disgrace you. Your body will disgrace you. Terribly embarrassing to have erection in the wrong place. It will disgrace you. And so don't say, I can't control it. It's a reaction. No. You can control it. There is no married couple who have sex all the time whenever they want it. There is no married couple. Every married couple, every husband, not married couple, every husband, there will be a time you want sex, you can't get it. For whatever reason. Post baby has born or tiredness or menstrual period or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. There are different reasons in different houses. But tiredness is one thing. Every husband, don't tell me that if I'm going to the house, girl, or I'm going to town, or I'm going somewhere to go and satisfy myself. You won't give me, okay, I'm going. What do you mean? Lie down and be there. Lie down and be there. You can't go that way. Amen. Tell your neighbor, there is no reason why this giant should take you. No reason. You must control it in your mind and in your... This giant, fight small, run small. All the rest you fight or you stand. All of the other giants. But this one, you fight small, then you run small. You don't do only one or the other. Both will fail you in the course of time. We have time for one more giant. These are giants that stop you from going ahead in life and in ministry. Number three, the giant of pride. Pride. This is maybe the most difficult. I mean, they're all difficult. But this one may be the most difficult because it's the most difficult to see in yourself. As pride is the one that comes behind you. Giants often stand in front of you and stop you. This one stands behind you and comes around you and is with you. Pride. It is the first sin of mankind. It is the one that is with us from the beginning. Pride. I thought there are two difficulties that you can't see it. The second is this. Pride is a form of the vision that you have for yourself. I don't know if it's clear. It's a form of the vision that you have for yourself. An evil vision. Because everybody wants to be great in life. Nobody wants to be small forever. How many want to drive a car? But do you know that that car can make you proud? That car can make your neck stiff and your hand become constant seven. That car can make you despise those who are working. And that, you see, the pride is what you want for yourself, but an evil version. I don't know whether I'm explaining the thing well. So many of us are unconsciously trying to be proud. Not trying to be proud, but trying to be something that is like the proud that you don't want to be. So you are trying to be proud. But you see, this giant of pride, it will bring you down. It will bring you down. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. When pride, let me give you a simple rule. When you see pride, just wait, you see destruction. Oh, yes. When you see pride, just wait. Just go and bet. Those who like betting, go and bet. One, the biggest bet you can afford, go and bet. You will see destruction. 1, 2, 3, 5 years, whatever it is, you will see destruction. Pride, it will bring you down. But the interesting thing is this. Many who are proud, your pride is baseless. Baseless. You have no reason to be proud. You have no money, no education, no beauty, no muscles, no great, nothing. You are just walking like this, you know, this thing, but you don't have anything. And the person who you are talking to is probably a far more qualified person than you. But pride has swollen you up like a balloon to feel you are something that you are not. That is what pride is doing to you. It has set you on a foundation that doesn't exist. So you are bound sooner or later to fall. And you see, how many want to be poor? Nobody. How many want to be rich? How many want to do well? How many want to have a house, have a car, have a good education, travel? All those things you want bring pride. All those things you desire bring pride. Have you seen my house? Have you seen my car? Do you know where I'm coming from? Do you look at my one day? Look, I was at a border. I was traveling somewhere at a border. Then a man came with his passports, about 20 passports stapled. I said, why? 20 passports stapled, 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, maybe you have a visa in a previous one. It's true. You don't have to staple all 20 passports together into. Because when I came, it was on the table in front of me. I said, what is this? About this high. You are laughing at me. About this high. And I said, what is this? So the bottom one too, do you still need it? What visa is there in the bottom one that is still there up until the day? No. Just to show I travel. That's all. And I've traveled. And I look at my passport. I've gone through all these passports. I've filled them. I said, no, it's nonsense. Just the passport you need, if you have a visa and another passport, just carry both and then show the visa and they won't even know by themselves. But it fills you up and makes you think you are something that you are not. No. And pride, look, sometimes you say, I'm not proud. They are the ones. No. The answer is, I'm trying not. Because how many agree we are all proud? All of us. Ewes are proud. Gans are proud. Ashantis are proud. Fantis are proud. Everybody is proud. Everybody is proud. Poor people are proud. Rich people are proud. Boys are proud. Girls are proud. What again do you... Aren't you two or three of these things? Aren't you covered in these areas? Those who have long hair are proud. Short hair are proud. Everybody is proud. Are proud. Are also proud of their makeup and their other additional things to make them proud. Everybody is proud. You find somebody driving a borrowed car, he's proud. Ah, someone is walking, it's got a new pair of shoes, he's proud. What? No. So, no matter, this giant, you must humble yourself deliberately. I must confess that I have been accused before of being proud. Oh yeah? Because I had reason to be. I had many reasons to be proud. Come and see me, I'll tell you. If I say it here, to come back again. I had reason to be proud. But I decided, it was a conscious decision, I decided not to be. James 4:10, humble yourself. Not be humble, humble yourself. I've developed an aversion to front seats in the church outside my church. What do you say? I developed an aversion to front row in any church outside my church. I will not go. Any church outside my church. My church, I have no choice. Second, third, back. No. Many times, I have to fight. Reverend Albert, we have fought before. Many times. Sit here. No. Don't, you can't sit here. I will sit here. Hey. You can't be here. I will be here. No. You're not allowed. You can't. You, look, I've been manhandled. What did I say? Manhandled. I've been manhandled in trying. I said, no, I will sit here. Middle, third row, fifth row. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change me. I am who I am. Where I sit means zero in my authority or my power or my responsibility. It means nothing. But they said, no. You must go to the front. I always say, there's somebody else who likes the front. Let him be there. There's always somebody who likes the front row, likes the glamour, likes the heat. Like, let him be where he's also happy. Allow me to be where I'm also happy. Humble. Tell anybody, humble yourself. Deliberately. When I got my car, it was a problem. When I was going for meetings, the Land Cruiser, when I got it, I was going for meetings, I'll pack it. If the meeting was here, I'll pack it there, then walk. Because all the others were walking. So I'll pack it, then I'll walk. Then as I'm walking, I'll see Bra Stevie. I say, oh, Charlie, how? Then we walk together, then we come to the meeting. Yeah. I said, no. It's too grand. Then one day, God asked me, are you ashamed of your blessing? Hey, God to you. This angle of attack, how can I fight it? Are you ashamed of your blessing? Because your father has blessed you. Rather, not be proud, but be happy. Celebrate the blessing your father has given you. Are you ashamed of your blessing? I had to think about it. I said, yes, I'm trying to be humble. Now I've gone to something else. So I had to go and bring the car and come and pack it and say, my father has blessed me. I can channel all the blessings to my father and say, my father has blessed me. Come and see my father, what he has done. He has blessed me. You all say, wow. I was very wise. What a good father. You see, that's the wisdom you need. But tonight, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Too many of us are proud over nothing. When you are proud, you can't be advised. You can't be advised. When you are advised, you won't do it. You won't hear. Because you already know what it is. Every time somebody tells you something, you don't do it. It's a pride in you. Every time somebody tells you something, do this, and you don't do it. Come, and you are slow. Do this, and you are reluctant. Pride in you. A house boy, a house girl, no hesitation. Pick up the baller straight away. You won't ask why me. Pack those chairs, why me? Straight away. You are showing that you are proud. Come out too, why me? Straight away. Humble yourself. When you do, he shall lift you up. He. And it is true. I find it happens so often. When I'm trying to dodge, rather, it becomes worse. It becomes worse. One day, my friend, another bishop, was having a service. And I was going to the service, and I was late. So when I got there, the church was full. Then the usher man said, I can't go in. I said, oh, there's a chair here by the doorway. Let me sit here. He says, no, you can't go in. It's full. I said, look, I can see some empty chairs here. Let me go in. I said, no, you can't go in. So while I was at the door trying to corner myself in, then the bishop stopped me. Oh, Patrick, come. Then from that door there, that chair I wanted, I didn't get it. He called me straight. They come and sit by me at the altar. Everybody was looking, who is this man? Where has he come from? It's not my fault. You should have allowed me to sit the corner there. You should have allowed me. God will lift you up. God will lift you up. God is the... What did David say? I think in 2 Samuel 7. He said, I was a shepherd boy with the sheep coats. And I was looking after sheep. And look at me today. You have made a promise that me and my house will be kings. And not only to me, but to my house. Then David asked me, is this how you deal with men? It's not normal. Is this how you deal with men? No. Humble yourself. This giant of pride, he will bring you down. Oh, yes. He's a tricky giant. He can trip you, hold you, ways. He will bring you down. And I want you to decide. These three giants that I want us to fight this evening. First, giants of poverty. Decide. Decide, everybody, decide that I will never go, everybody should decide, I'll never go below something. I would never be below 5 cities, 10 cities, 20 cities, 30 cities. Decide. Because otherwise, you'll be tempted to go below when the feelings of poverty upon you, but decide that I'll always give. Above all, decide I will never defer my tithe. Every money, your uncle, It's your increase. Your uncle, I'm sent you money. Add it and tithe. You've got some money from somewhere. Add it and tithe. That's why your poverty is not going away. The giant is not moving. The ones are not killing it. And he's rather becoming stronger. Second giant of Pornia. Now, you must decide that myself. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are a few virgins left. There should be some left still. We can't say they are finished. In churches, now they are, all of us are. Used goods. No. There must be some still left. And it should not be an embarrassment. It should be an embarrassment. Oh, I'm shy to say. I'm shy to say it. No. Rather, I'm sorry I'm not. I should have been, but I'm not. It doesn't matter. Fix your heart and your mind on other things. You cry, sex, a time will come, eh? You be lie down. You move, cry. Sex is not. I think Satan has deceived us all to make it very important. Satan has made us think sex is very important. You must have it. If not, you are some way. It's nothing. Those who have it don't care, and those who don't have it are the ones who are talking plenty. Even they cry when they marry. They don't do it again. There's something funny about sex. I feel that it's a deception. It's a mass deception. Now, fix your mind on something. Don't see girls as sex. See them as friends and sisters. And lastly, humble yourself. Shabakataya. I'm nobody. Which is true. We are nobody. Maybe you are the richest person here. Let me call somebody. He will humble you. Maybe you are here. You have $10,000 in your pocket. And you can spend it. No problem. I can call somebody who spends $10,000 for a meal. Yeah. For one meal. He says, oh, he needs money. How? $4 million. I said, I didn't hear well. I said, oh no. $4 million. And I said, Charlie, it's impossible. I said, oh no. It's not impossible at all. He has options. Oh, it's not true, Aaron. He has their options. I mean, listen, there are people you can go to for $4 million and they'll give it to you. Oh, it's not true. Ah, you are sitting here with 100,000 cities. You are a champion. 100,000 cities that come to rule over us. 100,000 cities. Moses, oh, it's not true. Somebody, they said, give offering $10,000. Just got up and gave it. Hey, you are sitting here. I'm coming to complain about your 100 city offering. No. We are nothing. All of us, we are nothing. Because even that one, there's somebody higher than him. $100,000. Somebody's paying rent. $600,000 a month is rent. $600,000 a month is his rent. So how much is his salary? And he won't build a house too. No, I mean, people are some way. They're like that. This is rent. I'd rather pay rent. I don't want a house. You're $100,000. Be careful. Be calm. Be gentle. Okay? You have a Mercedes Benz. Take your time. A man has 500 Rolls Royces. 500 Rolls Royces. Yeah. And you have one Mercedes Benz. Please, take your time. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I can pay. Cool. Okay. Remember. Relax. You bought a brand new car. How much is your car? A man went to a Bugatti is about $1.3 million for. A man went to a shop and bought six. He walked in and bought six and walked out. He, his wife, and his children. Tell somebody, relax. I mean, I know you have something, but tell you, cool down, calm down. You have a house. You have a house. Your house. Do you want to compare houses? Relax. Humble yourself. Say, I am nothing. We are just useless servants. We have only done our duty. Then God will lift you up. Oh yes, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. Tonight, may everyone here this evening be a giant killer. May we look into our hands and find the tools and the weapons that we need to bring down every giant facing us. May we only run from that giant called lust. All the rest, face them down to the ground. As Joshua wiped them out, as Joshua killed every single one of them, may we in like manner destroy everyone in front of us. Now we can easily and freely take the land God has given us, the land with milk and honey. Put your hands together this evening. And decide you are a giant killer from tonight. You are a giant killer. Decide. I'm a giant killer. And everybody has a different devil. There are more giants. I've not touched them yet. Everybody has a different giant. Hey, mine and yours. No. My house is here. Where is your house? Be careful. And as you face your giant, may you come out victorious like David in every battle you meet. Put your hands together and you may be seated.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place, this and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed. He called me.